Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, I hope it really is Friday here, right?
It is officially Friday. Yes.
Yeah.
You made it.
No kidding. I mean, for a week that was supposed to be vacation.
Mm-hmm.
As I explained to somebody, a friend of mine, I was talking the middle of the week. He goes, vacation? You still look tired. I like, well, you know, I still try to keep the like 1 hour of work a day instead of the normal 8 to 12 hours a day.
Goes, you know, Dennis,
yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't do 2 weeks because I feel like you need a week to decompress and then the next week for the actual vacation.
Well, it did come to mind. I just didn't want to, you know, at this time of year, 2 weeks would mean that by that second week, I could probably slip back into more work just because, you know, people on campus would be wondering, why is Dennis not getting back to me? And certain students of ours, you know.
Mm-hmm, the special ones.
Would just keep doing their special thing and keep emailing me over and over and over looking for a response. And no matter what, if I said to them, they would not figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just talking pre-show about a student who specifically emailed me to find out how to submit her scholarship app, right?
Yes.
And I specifically emailed her back the correct email address we have. I don't know, something like, I don't know, scholarships@lamission.edu. I mean, how? So, what, of course, does she do? Email me 5 emails with all of her pictures of her scholarship app. And you're telling me we can't just deny her, but I mean, okay.
I think, no, you can't do that.
I think, you know, look, if I was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys and I showed up at the Tennessee Titans, do you think they would let me play?
Mm.
No, I went to the wrong team.
Let's just say she might be an overachiever. How about that?
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is about as nice as something anyone could say about some students.
Okay. There we go. That's why we keep it positive. We keep it positive on the show.
Yeah, they would win an Oscar for overachievement in categories.
Oh, man.
I like that. Well.
So what are you drinking this morning?
Literally just water.
Oh, okay.
And some Kroger water enhancer.
Okay.
It's like that little Mio stuff, you know, the little bottle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fruit punch. And it's got vitamins, B3, B6, and B12 in it.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Yeah. And no extra caffeine because I used to drink a different flavor of these a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And until I read that it said energy drink, caffeine added.
Oh, yeah. I got to be careful of those.
Yeah, a little too much for me in the morning, you know.
Because
there's other things I'm sure I'm, you know, eating or taking that have some natural caffeine in them. Not that I don't need a little caffeine, but there's a difference between a little and a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking this morning there?
Oh, man. You know, my go-to in the morning times, my lemon zest Pellegrino.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, with the What's Brewing thing, we should definitely get more into coffee, you know, in our next 100 episodes.
Yeah, you know, the show is called What's Brewing.
I know.
It is.
Well, you know, if we actually, let's say, return to campus someday, and we get Dennis's coffee machine back to the office
because
it's on loan to one of our employees. Maybe we'll actually drink coffee as we sit there and record together.
Yes. Man, so, looking forward to that day. And it seems like it's going to get here sooner than later.
Yeah, it does. So re-engagement was one of those things on the list today that we could potentially talk about. It does seem like it. You know, I mean, there's been some memos going out over the last few weeks, which you were all at that point, you know, even like a few weeks ago. Very, theoretical. Theoretically, if we went back to campus, how would this look, right? You know? And so now I guess there's been a lot more talk, especially when I see rumblings among my fellow financial aid managers in the district on talking about who they think will come back, how would they balance people who want to stay at home versus the needs of having people at a counter. All that kind of stuff is just starting to hit the, fan ideas as far as how to think through some of this. And I believe you and the other staff, at least on our campus, have, you know, gotten the word from me and our assistant director, Marisol, about doing some office cleanup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're all going to go in and do some of that because apparently we've bought these Clorox 360 things.
Yeah, the misters. Uh-huh.
Where they'll be able to, in a sense, sanitize a large room, but we do want to be careful about having excess papers on the desks, too much stuff under the desk, because I guess we're going to deep clean our carpet too. Right. Is that what you understood?
Mm-hmm. That's part of the process too. Mm-hmm.
So we definitely want to get staff in the next few weeks. I'm going to go next week. I know you're going next week.
Mm-hmm.
Different times. So, that, you know, God forbid we get within 10 feet of each other.
Yeah, got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get some books off the shelf so the paper stuff don't get soaked with this Clorox stuff. And I'm going to have to take down, you know, you've given me some artwork over the years, right? For the
office. Yes. Some very special artwork.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I hate to break it to you, Dana. I'm going to have to take that stuff down.
Oh,
my Tupac and Janet Jackson poster.
Yeah. I mean, that's a classic, Dennis. Poetic Justice. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my Gemini the twin. I'm sorry, my Beyonce. What was it? Destiny's Child?
Yeah, Destiny's Child. Yeah, Destiny's Child poster. Yeah.
So I'm going to I'll probably have to tuck those away somewhere so that they don't get sprayed.
Mm. You know? Oh, yeah, because you don't want to get those damaged.
Yeah, you didn't put them in nice frames, you know, hermetically sealed. So, yeah, easily that they could get hurt. I don't want that to happen.
And even if you did have them in those nice frames, you still don't want any Clorox on those.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to take down all my artwork, all my books off my shelf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, we'll be going in next week and packing everything away.
And hopefully the rest of the staff will do the same. And then, you know, I mean, it's just like, we have the color coded tiers for the state for re-engagement of business. You know, right now LA is purple.
Yes.
Very close to teetering right into the red, which means we can move to, I think it's 25% indoor dining.
Mm-hmm.
Large scale venues can go from 100 maximum people to 10%. So that makes a big difference for the Dodger fans out there and the other baseball fans. Because finally, you know, again, I've got season tickets. I got quarter season tickets. I'd like to go to some games. Instead of being one of 100 people, maybe, I'll be maybe hopefully one of 10%.
There you go.
And you go to, when they only do 100, you can't serve food and drinks. So that's kind of stupid. So at least when you get to the 10%, they'll, you know, you can still buy.
You can.
Dodger dogs.
You can get your, get your dog, your Dodger dog and your Michelada.
Yeah, hopefully, they don't outlaw alcohol sales. My goodness.
because that's the thing that I look forward to when I go to a Dodger game is my tall can. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's usually the weather is nice.
And my $20 tall can, yes. It's the only place where I will spend $20 for a tall can.
I hope so. I mean, I hope you're not just randomly buying your beers on the street at $20.
No. No, sir.
It's not.
The only place on earth where we will spend $20 for a tall can.
Well, okay. That's okay then. So, yes, we'll get that 25% indoor dining again when we hit the red zone. And just like that, I was saying, the re-engagement plan at the campus has it set for, I think it's up to 25% of employees in the office at the same time. But what I believe I understand, and you could tell me if you've read through some of it, even at that stage or the next stage, we still won't have students come into the counters.
Okay.
That sound right?
Yes. But do you know what? When I went to the town halls, I still wasn't very clear about that, though. But it does make sense that no, the counters still would not be open.
That was my understanding when I read through the report that came from our district office for re-engagement. I don't think it's until we hit whatever is two steps beyond red.
I see.
Like either yellow or green. Green being we return to what it was 2 years ago kind of world. You know, everything gets normal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I still, in my opinion, I think we're still kind of a ways from that.
Well, yeah. I think, well, I mean, I guess a lot depends upon the way we roll out this.
The vaccine.
Vaccine, which seems to be going along well. But again, it's also, you know, government's got a little bit of power over us right now. And it's hard to take stuff away from the government once they've given it to you. And, you know, you know, somewhere out there is Big Mask. You know, just like Big Oil, someone out there, you know, pulling the strings going, no, make sure everyone wears masks from here until the end of time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so interesting because I've had this conversation with, you know, family and friends, you know, about moving forward. Like, do you, like you're saying, do you continue to wear the mask? I mean, do you no longer? And the last conversation I had, the individual was telling me that they think that they will continue to wear the mask even when we are, you know, in the green, when we
really
regain some type of normalcy. Right. Uh-huh.
No. Yeah.
So it's very interesting. It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
I will quit and run away to, I think it's Fiji that had like one person who got it. I'm leaving.
Oh, great. So now you're going to be the one contaminated. And then the whole.
Oh, no, no. I will get shot up with a fourth vaccine shot by then. Believe me, I will not be going there. I'll do 2 weeks of quarantine in Fiji. I mean,
if people are listening in Fiji, do not let this man in. Do not let him off the airplane.
Look, I've made it all the way through so far, knock on wood. So, you know, and I've got number one of two shots done, knock on wood. So, no, I understand that point of view, but I mean, if we're in 2 years and we're cleared at the end of this summer and getting close to the herd immunity and all the other good stuff that's supposed to roll through, and yet we still have any of those kind of things or restrictions on how many people can troll about a mall or a bookstore or it's still outdoor dining, which we're lucky it's California because, again, do you think there's a lot of outdoor dining going on in Milwaukee and Chicago this winter?
Oh, not right. No,
no
way.
Yes. So in other words, now 50% of those restaurants are gone or whatever those numbers are in some of these big cities. And it's 50% or more sometime. And they're not going to come back because what? You're going to what? Come back for Chicago four months when people can sit outside? No, it's gone. I mean, there will be some things that will come and go and go once we get back out of this, but I just can't see us all hanging on forever, you know, making it through that. But I the mask thing, I guess we'll just have to see as how that works out.
Yeah, but, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, interesting is the nicest word you could say sometimes. For sure, on all that. Well, Dana, I think we'll take a little musical interlude here, and then we'll continue our conversation on re-engagement in the world.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. It's time for a refill.
Yeah.
You know, so we were just talking about, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm getting my second refill.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Okay, you got you got another can of Pelly sitting next to you?
Man, I got a whole case. Let's go.
That's good, yeah. All right. Well, so we were just all talking about re-engagement, you know, as campuses. I think, you know, again, we do have some friends across the state whose campuses have been maybe not back with students, you know, again, coming to the windows and all, but I do know some people who go into the office much more often than all of us down here. You know, there's a couple directors that go almost every day. Sometimes some of their staff do during the week. but they're coming in more on a regular basis than anyone down here in the LA area. So it certainly will be interesting to see how students take hold of this because, again, if we can't have students at our counters, it means we're going to have to do the, you know, the virtual counter thing for a while. And then when we even get students back on campus, what will be the engagement level as far as percentage of those students? You know, I mean, we're moving into summer sooner than we think. I mean, we barely started our fall or spring semester here. And we'll have summer upon us. And then I know we were talking about schools that are looking to re-engage by fall for certain, right? You were saying what, like USC and...
Right. I had heard that USC was going back to in-person instruction in the fall.
And if they are, I would assume most of the other private type 4 years will too. Pepperdine's,
right.
Loyola, Marymount's, the Chapman's. Well, Chapman's and Orange, I can't see them holding out longer either. And I know just in talking again to some friends who have sent their sons and daughters off to college this last fall. Again, and I'm thinking of two at USC and one for Loyola. Two for Loyola, one out here in the Loyola in Chicago. One of those four decided they would go to community college this year instead. Because there was a concern that, again, you really want to pay $40,000 to $50,000 for an online education for 1 year, you know? It's one thing when it's like, you know, community college, $50,000 buys you, you know, a lifetime supply of classes. But, you know, when you're talking about 1 year at a private school, let alone not knowing what was coming up in the fall of 2021, did you really want to spend that kind of money for classes that you could really do well at a local community college?
Right. And I think that's a very, I want to say this in a nice way. I think that's a very smart approach, you know, to all of this, because I agree with your friends there. If I had kids, and, you know, they, you know, were going to Harvard or like any other type of Ivy League school or private school. I think I would tell them the same thing. You know, Dana Jr., I'm sorry, you're going to Mission. For this academic year.
And see, and this is unfortunately, for whatever reason, the numbers just did not help us as far as when we've looked back at like this last fall. We didn't see as big of a bump I think a lot of us were expecting. But I think some of that was because we also forgot all mixed into this is the students who would have been naturally, you don't want to, I don't want to say, you know, again, being nice here, the naturally community college bound students, you know, the ones who were not going to go to 4 year universities anyways, you know, the reentry students are right out of high school students who didn't apply maybe the 4 year or wanted to stay local or were thinking from just from the get go. But I don't think we captured as many of them this last fall and certainly this last spring as we'd hoped to.
Right.
So even if we did pick up those students who have put off their dreams of a 4 year university for a year, it unfortunately didn't help us with the enrollment numbers.
Right.
So now we got to get back out there and beat the streets and look for people.
Yes.
You know, and hope that we can reengage with our community college bound students.
Right. And I think one way, and I know our college president is really forward thinking in this, is offering more like certificate programs.
Yes.
Or like technical like opportunities and trades for students. I think in some way that's very helpful. And, you know, and, you know, again, you know, increasing the numbers and, you know, getting students to, you know, to come to our campus.
Very true. And we, you know, hopefully it's one of those things that between the president and the deans and the vice president and our academic department chairs, we get back that focus on what does our community need for programs.
Right. Because,
you know, it's a slow road oftentimes.
And I mentioned that. And I mentioned that because we don't get in trouble for me mentioning this, but I was on Google and I saw this little caption that said, you know, that they're offering, you know, certificate programs. Have you seen that?
I think I saw something regarding that. Yeah. Yeah, I saw something.
Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find
it. Yeah, it was like right on when you go to the main page or whatever.
So yeah, that's when you search,
Well, again, you know, this has always been, you know, the good and bad of proprietary schools, which is the good is that they move faster than we do. You know, if there's a new cyber, like when cybersecurity was the whole big rage. How long did it take your average community college, public community college, to get to having a cybersecurity program? Let alone one that was robust enough that students learned something. Because, you know, you might have had a professor who knew something about it, but did they really know enough about it? And again, nothing against professors, but professors are just like any of us. You get into your field of doing what you do, but are you keeping up on your actual happenings in your field?
Right.
You know, so you might be behind the times.
Yeah.
That was a good. Of course, a bad part of some of the proprietary schools is the quality of the education. But yeah, it's how fast can we move on some of these things? So it's, yeah, it's good that our president and I think a lot of other colleges are going the same route of assessing what do we really need for our students.
Yeah, because the competition is going to be, well, it's already fierce. You know, that because that's what I was thinking when I saw that little caption on Google. Uh-huh. So because I think that's part of it is, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, you know, for potential students. So, you know, I think, you know, we have to think outside the box. And I think that's a great way to do that is, again, offering these certificate programs and, you know, opportunities for students.
Absolutely. I'm all with you on that. Especially if it means that we either get students to start seeing other options available through us, admission. Nothing against our sister schools in the area, but forget all of you. it's all about us. It's all about us and our school. You know, look, because if we have to close one of the schools in the district to save some money, it's not going to be us. That's what we want it to be.
Oh, boy. Now, okay. Now, real talk. I have a question for you, Dennis. So, okay. So, since we're talking about, you know, trying to, you know, capture these students and help the numbers and everything, what are your thoughts on, because we do have a sister campus that does offer, is it a bachelor's degree? Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it a bachelor's degree?
Are you talking about a school on the west side?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, they offer one in dental hygienist.
Yes, dental hygienist. Yes. Now, could you see our campus doing something like that?
Here's the thing. According to the way the state rules are set up, again, because this has only been for the last 5 or so years, I believe, the state allowed community colleges to offer bachelor's degrees, again, because it's a state public school. There's rules. And so the biggest concerns, obviously, coming out of all your Cal States and UC schools was, will this mean students getting poached from our campus? So what happened was, first of all, it was like a limit of up to 10% of the community colleges. So at that point, it was like maybe 11 could be offering these programs. Second, they could only offer programs that were not offered in their immediate service area. So like in our case, our service area would include Cal State Northridge. So we would have to have a bachelor degree program that they do not offer that we also can show that there's a, you know, demand for and all. And hopefully aligned with what we're already offering. So I'm not, you know, CSUN is one of those schools that offers a ton of stuff. So what would they not offer that we could offer a bachelor for?
I could see maybe like the culinary arts, because our program is pretty robust. Yeah. And award winning.
Yes.
So yeah, I could definitely see culinary arts. Yeah,
so that's
do we still do geriatrics?
Gerontology.
Excuse me.
We gerontology. Do have, yeah, gerontology still does exist.
Okay.
I don't know where that ties in at the bachelor degree level, but that would be right. Something. But again, the other limitation at the time, and again, this could be outdated, was no more than one school per district.
Oh, so, okay.
So that's where we may be limited, because one of the schools in the LA district already does this dental hygienist program. Again, because it's not offered at any of the UCs or CSUs in that service area.
Okay.
We'd have to see if they've expanded that.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, you know, here's the other problem, though, and it's not the problem so much. You know, our computer system really has been set up for us as a 2-year school kind of model. So once you start doing 4-year school stuff, you got to do it all. So Cal grants, Pell grants, all the way up through 4 years plus 6 years. All the other eligibility stuff. You get Cal Grant A, though, potentially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's all those kind of setup things that's created extra work out there at that one school. And of course, you know, our district, with all the extra money just rolling around, I'm sure it just sent them tons of money to make all this happen. Ha ha. I'm kidding. Every time we've had a new program created, it's always been, who next do we burden in the office with this? Because there's no extra money. I'm sorry if it sounds like, man, I'm knocking on my district, but I'm sorry. You get what you get when, you know, when this is the way that they react to things, which is, you know, how long, how many months are we now up to that we still have an opening due to a retirement? This will be month number 3. Because our district couldn't get their whatever's moving to get on this process sooner, even though another school had put in for a similar opening, what, August?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're supposed to all be able to operate, you know, online, work from home, and everyone else. But apparently not everybody, you know, in the district has to work that way. But, you know, I'm going to play some music so we get out of this whole problem here.
Because we're going down the rabbit hole.
That's right, exactly. And I don't want to make this at all personal, because it's not. See, just like that, it's like that other segment didn't exist as we move here into our last sip segment. All wash away. There we go. We've cleaned our gullets.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So, as you know, last part of the show here, Dana, you have any I dare you twos for our people out there?
Man, I feel so bad.
You really should at this point.
You know why? I'm telling you, like, this, because, you know, this week marks our year anniversary that we've been working from home. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
So I cannot tell you how many shows I have binge watched.
Yeah.
When I really should be reading more books, but no, it's all about the shows. Oh, so right now I'm binging Big Bang Theory.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. One of the last, probably one of the last network sitcoms I really watched myself.
Oh, okay.
You know,
alrighty.
Just because, again, I don't know what's really left out there. And especially now with this new TV world where it's literally planned from the get-go that you get 2 to 3 seasons and then they kind of, we're done.
Yeah, they phase it out. Yeah. Well,
then I'm kind of done with that style.
Right, right. Yeah, the only long-running series I know of is right now is Simpsons, right? They're like on their 100th season.
It sure feels like, it's like 33 years now, 32. And that I still like because it does still stay fresh. Some of their other animated stuff that's been around maybe only half as long, you know, about some kind of guy and a family or something, kind of jumped the shark a while ago creatively. Mm-hmm. Again, that and, you know, really when the line to their show when they've used it themselves is, well, Simpsons did it already. Yeah, as far as plots and stuff. Yeah, you've kind of dried out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is what it is, but yes, keep binge watching and we'll have some I Dare You Twos there sometime for you to bring back up. I do want to put out there before we wrap up the show here, we are working on things over the next few weeks. We're going to have an interview with incoming President Robinson, Anna Faye Robinson, next week Friday. Also, sometime early in April, we'll regroup the roundtable teams that I had in for Zoom calls that we recorded as breakout sessions for our conference. And we talked about, you know, things like where we are, how we've dealt so far with this last year, and where we think we are moving forward as we get back into re-engagement in our financial aid offices. And then hopefully some other interviews with people in financial aid and maybe from outside financial aid. How's that sound, Dana?
That sounds awesome.
Good. Well, in that case, then, we're going to end it right here. That's all we have time for today, but there's always our next episode. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and find us searching for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 72, recorded the morning of Friday, March 12th, 2021.
Have a great day.
And everybody have a great weekend.